Well, here we are. We're in a series called the Ten Commandments, or as Grace has dubbed them, the Commandments. I kind of like that. But, specifically, we're doing ten of them. If you've been with us for a little while, you've noticed that we kind of have the same starting every week. And so I'm doing the same start as last week. And the reason is because it's summer, especially. People are in and out, and so we need to kind of give everybody some tracks and wait. To think about how the law applies to us and the law, and because we're not under the law as Christians, and since Jesus came, he changed all everything. So that's part of what we do at the start of every sermon. This morning, I want to bring you back a couple of thousand years ago to a people in slavery. They were slaves of the Egyptians, and they were mistreated. They're slaves, right? I mean, that's pretty much self-explanatory. You know, as a slave, things don't go well for you usually. It's not like the best life. Nobody grows up to go like, I want to be a slave. You know, that's the best job ever. It pays really bad. You guys are like dead. It's sort of funny. It's not super funny. Little bit. Could have had a snicker. Pays. There you go. Yeah. If you're visiting, we like to have fun in our church, so feel free to laugh or boo or whatever you want. It's like, that's a terrible joke. But anyway, these people are under oppression from the Egyptians and in slavery, and they cry out to God. And God hears their prayer and sends a guy named Moses to deliver them. And so what we find is Moses barters with Pharaoh to try to get the people out of Egypt, and not just to get them out of Egypt, but for freedom. I mean, this is it. Because in order to truly be God's people, and we talked about it last week when it comes to the Sabbath, in order to meet on the Sabbath and to worship God, you have to be free. As a slave, you don't have that freedom. And so what we find is God shows his mighty power in Egypt through the plagues and the deliverance of Israel. So Israel's witness to all these things. None of the plagues touch them. Like, they just see all this stuff and like, wow, this God's awesome. He's doing everything for us. And then they get out on the road. Pharaoh finally lets them go. And they put themselves in a tight spot because there's nowhere to go and Pharaoh's army is coming. Pharaoh's decided he doesn't want to let them go anymore. And the Red Sea's here. They got cliffs all around them. They don't know where to go. And God opens the sea and they walk across on dry land. Are you kidding me? That is awesome. Can you imagine just kind of walking? You're kind of like, those walls are made of water. I feel a little uneasy. And you're going right through the Red Sea, right? So, I mean, it's like a downhill, 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 uphill, 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 right? So Pharaoh's army decides to do the same thing. I think they didn't really look at the walls, and the walls came crashing down as God closed the sea over them. And again, God delivered Israel. He did it all by himself. He didn't need Israel's help. And so what we find is Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai in Exodus 20. And God actually speaks the Ten Commandments. The mountain's on fire. There's smoke. It's shaking. There's thunder. And the people are terrified. They're freaked out. In fact, we find out later on in Exodus that they're like, okay, Moses, we want you to speak to us and not God, because that was crazy. But they're terrified because of this. This God actually speaks the Ten Commandments to them. Unbelievable, to the whole nation. They weren't even able to touch the mountain. If they did, they would die. Like, this is God has descended on this mountain. So cool. Can you imagine being there? And God speaking, just going like, what is going on? The earth is trembling. This whole mountain's on fire and smoking. Amazing. So that's how the Ten Commandments were given. Now, we've been going through the Deuteronomy. The commandments are listed twice in the Old Testament. We're going through the Deuteronomy commandments, which is Moses actually preaching or expounding on the commandments that were given by God in Exodus chapter 20. So that's our introduction. This is the people of Israel. They're used to being slaves. And we need to remember this because these commandments were given to people who used to be slaves. And it was very difficult for them to figure out how to be free people. Remember, they were born in slavery. And last year's application is we too are born in slavery. We're born in slavery to sin. And we need deliverance, and we need to remember. And that's why we need to be reminded of these things over and over, is that we were slaves. And now we're free, that Christ has set us free. So the law of Jesus and how it applies to us. Well, it's important to remember that Jesus came to fulfill the law. In fact, we have it up here. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Big, big difference. It sounds, what's the difference between just, what do you mean fulfill them? So there's a number of different types of laws in the Old Testament. One of them is the cleanliness laws, where you needed to clean yourself up and, all these ritual cleansings. And if you touched a dead body, you were unclean for 10 or 7 days, I think. And you had to go through a purification process. All that was removed because Christ made everything clean with his death and resurrection. Okay, so that's why we don't do that stuff anymore. If you've delved into the Old Testament, or if you heard people argue sometimes, you'll also hear about like dietary laws. And you'll be like, well, Jews weren't able to eat bacon, as our joke from last week, right, Darcy? We were amen that we're not allowed to eat bacon now. And I had bacon and tomato sandwiches yesterday, so. And the reason is because Christ has made all these clean. There's no more unclean animals that we're not allowed to eat. That Christ has changed all that. Now, when it comes to the moral law, which is like the Ten Commandments, so how do we view that? Because, we're not allowed to murder now, right? I mean, that's part of the Ten Commandments. We shouldn't be stealing or we still have to love God. We still have to worship God. So what's the difference with these commandments? What does it mean that Christ fulfilled them? Because these other ones means that they're actually don't apply to us at all anymore. But what about these ones? How do these apply? Well, fortunately, the New Testament's really clear on that. We don't have to guess. And so our text that helps us to make it clear actually comes from Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 19 to 24. And we've been using this illustration, that the law is like an MRI machine. It shows you what's wrong, but can't cure you. Right? When you go through the MRI, it doesn't make everything better. It just actually makes you aware of what's wrong. And so this is the function of the law. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth might be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. That's an awesome statement. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sins. That's why we're talking about the law as like an MRI. It makes us conscious of our sins. So the way we view something like the Ten Commandments is there's something that is revealed in our hearts here through these Ten Commandments. It reveals something. It shows us something that's wrong. And you might be thinking, well, that's kind of odd. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to find out what's wrong? I don't go to the doctor so that he can't tell me what's wrong with me. Right? Some of us are like that. But that doesn't help you, right? If there is something wrong with you, it's probably good that you know what's wrong so that a cure can be found. And what we find is, in the following passage here, is that Christ is the cure. The law is the MRI, the diagnosis, and Christ is the cure. Let's continue. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been known. And what is this righteousness? To which the law and the prophets testify. The whole Testament testifying to this. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came. By who? Christ Jesus. He's the cure. And so that's how we look at the law. So we are no longer under the condemnation of the law. For instance, last week we talked about Sabbath. There is no longer a death penalty for not taking Sabbath, right? We're not under the law. And that's a good thing because we've all broken these things. And what we find, and I think if you really reflected on the Ten Commandments, you've broken every single one. And that's one of the reasons we're going to go through it, the whole thing. There's lots of people who came up to Jesus and not lots of people, but a few stories in the Bible where people came up to Jesus like, oh yeah, I've done all the commandments. And Jesus just nails it because we've all broken the first one, which means we've all broken the rest. We've all set up idols in front of God. We've all made things that are more important than God, created things. So let's get into our text. So that's our introduction. So that's the first 10 minutes, gone. So let's go to Deuteronomy 5, chapter 5, verse 16. And we're doing the fifth commandment. It's a shorty. It says, honor your father and your mother. Now all the parents just went, nice. Unless your kids are helping out in the children's, like mine are. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? The time I get to preach on your parents, they're all gone. Every single one of them. Well, and they won't listen online, I guarantee that. Okay, let's start again. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So this is the deal today. Honor your father and your mother. Interesting that this one made the Big Ten. And I think there's a number of reasons. First of all, we've separated the commandments into kind of two sections. The first four commandments emphasizing loving God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So those first four commandments are meant to love God. So the reason why we still celebrate Sabbath is because we want to love God. That's the reason we still meet with the people of God. That's one of the reasons why we don't just kind of go like, hey, I'm just going to be my own Christian and I'm going to do my own thing. That's not the way God has designed it for us. He's designed the body so that you can be with the people of God. Like Kevin was saying, something happens when the people of God gather that doesn't happen when you're not in the gathering or in the church. The church is the people. And so this command initiates the love one another commands, which is the next section of commands, starting in the home with father and mother. So I think I just need to quickly define honor. We know what honor means, but let's just have some tracks to think about what it means. So specifically, I think what the text is giving us is to give honor means to give weight or importance to. So if something is weighty in your life, it's meaningful, there's importance there. In another way, it's you highly value or highly esteem or highly respect is to show honor. And so I just want us to think about honor in this way. And we'll define it a little bit more. The Bible actually gives us some outcomes of this, of what it means to honor your parents. And so any teenagers here wish you didn't come today? No, we have awesome teenagers here. Don't we? Yeah. Amen. Yes, they are awesome. I love these guys right here. They're like, oh, there's daggers. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I just want to answer three questions today. We have a little bit shorter time today, and so I just want to answer these three questions. Why would God need to command people to honor their parents? Why would he need to do that? Secondly, what does the need for this command reveal about our hearts? So this is where the MRI thing. What does it reveal about our hearts? What's in our hearts that God would need to command this? And then finally, how can we apply this command to our lives? And so my goal is to do this in a shortened service today. if you're wondering why I keep saying that and you're new, it's because I tend to take the full time when I preach. Let's put it that way. Okay, so why is it in the Big Ten? Enough talk about that kind of stuff. Number one, I think it's in there because of human flourishing. I really think at the heart of the Ten Commandments, God desires his people to flourish. Or as Spock would say, to live long and prosper, right? If you don't know, okay, there's not a lot of Trekkies here. It's okay. But this is the heart of the commandments. And where do we find this? We find this in Deuteronomy 6, chapter. I keep saying that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these. He's talking about the commandments. All these statutes. To fear the Lord our God. So this is the outcome, right? For our good always. So here's at the heart of these commandments. It's for the good of the people. All of these commands is for the good of the people. Because God was setting up an entire nation and how to function. And so he started off, you need to love the Lord your God, because everything else will be dependent on this. If you don't love the Lord your God, good luck with the next six commandments. It ain't going to happen. That he might preserve us alive as we are this day. So this is found in Deuteronomy 6. And so human flourishing, I really think, is at the heart of this. And the reason I mentioned it last week, but the reason why it's one of the points today is because I really think that when it comes to the home, is that's where flourishing begins. So a nation that flourishes has healthy families. It's why I think as Christians, we put so much emphasis on the family. that we know that healthy societies and cultures have healthy families. And when there's a breakdown in the family, and you can go and look at the history of civilizations and cultures, when the family breaks down, that culture and that civilization breaks down. There's something core about family, about the home. And so, of course, God knows this. He designed it that way. And so this is why he starts. This is the first commandment about loving one another. It starts at home. It's the first human relationship that is mentioned because I think this is where it begins. This is where everything is dependent on this one relationship. All other relationships are affected and shaped by a relationship with our parents as kids. How our parents relate to one another, how they relate to others, how they relate to us. That's how, when we grow up, those are the values we adopt or throw off. Those are the things that we gravitate towards. And so, you know, if your dad drilled into you a crazy Protestant work ethic, you're going to be crazy about work, and you're going to put work first, and everything's about work, 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 work. And you know, like we mentioned last week, Sabbath is going to take a rest from your life. We don't want to do that, right? But if you're, you know, if your father and mother were like, you know, Sabbath is really important. Like for me, I learned this from my parents. Sabbath was super important for my parents. And so they kind of drilled it into me that, you know, my dad's a farmer and everything shut down. Like it's more like a pretty strict Sabbath for him. Midnight, boom, everything's done on Saturday night. And then midnight on Sunday night or Monday morning, bang, everything started up again if there's wind and we could go harvest again. But it was something our family did. And we almost always got the crop off. In fact, I don't ever remember us not getting the crop off. And weird thing was, my dad was finished almost always before everyone else. You know, there's something that happens when you submit to the rhythms of life that God has designed for us. And so I think the same thing applies to the home. Our relationship with our parents shapes our relationship with God. There's so much written on, especially fathers and how fathers shape their kids and how they view God, because God is a father. Yeah, you guys are still with me? I know it's like honor your parents. You're like, I know, but I mean, come on, let's go. Let's get into this. It shapes our relationship with God. In fact, we were at a church planning conference a couple of years ago. And one of the speakers there was talking about when they launch new churches and church planters, they have to go through this course about wounds from their father, and they have to called the father wound, and they have to deal with those things before they'll even let them start planting a church, because it affects you so deeply. So relationships with our parents and honoring if your parents instilled in you, you need to honor and respect others, especially your parents. Then those values more than likely went with you. It shapes our societies, cultures, and nations. Now, I'm not going to belabor this one because we talked about this already. I mean, family is the core, and you can go as far as back as you can and see healthy families. When the family is healthy, nations are healthy. Honoring our parents shapes our view of authority. And not just honoring your parents, but if your parents are actually showing respect and honor as well to others, to the authority in their lives, that will shape it for sure. And if they don't, we'll shape it the other way. So if your mom or dad is just kind of like, you know, they're always complaining about the boss, and they're, you know, they don't like the pastors at church telling them, well, we don't tell you what to do, but I got a better example. The boss tells you what to do, right? They don't like authority in their life. They don't like accountability. You're gonna give those values to your kids. Your kids aren't gonna like authority. Your kids aren't gonna submit to the rules and to the when they grow up. Authority's gonna be an issue for them. It's gonna shape them. It shapes how we honor and respect others. And I think that one's just self-explanatory, right? If your parents have taught you to honor and respect them and others, it's gonna go with you. And you can always tell kids that have been taught this, that they've been taught to honor and respect, that it actually is like, no, you're not allowed to treat adults this way. You know, when I was a kid, we called everyone Mr. and Mrs., right? It's really odd to see my kids, and it's just a different day, and I don't think it's disrespectful, but it was one of the ways that our older societies, and older as in just like, you know, 30 years ago, how we treated adults. There was a difference there. There was a built-in respect. My generation doesn't like to be called Mister, and so we threw it off. No, I'm just Chris. But there's now there's like you call Mister because Mister Chris, right? I don't know where that came from, but whatever. But it's teaching your kids to respect authority. I'm not saying you have to do that, but not authority to respect their elders, to respect adults. So, and how serious? You want to get the gravity of this commandment, how serious God is about this commandment? This is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, okay, that puts me right there because that was me, who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, means grab him, and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all of the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. What? So you shall purge purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. This is how important God saw the home. This is how important it is for human flourishing. That God saw this, that he would make this command and say, hey, if you have a son like this, so daughters, you're off the hook, right? Because it doesn't say daughter there. Anyway. I'm glad we're not under the law, because I'd have got a few rocks thrown at me over years ago. I'm really glad we're under grace, but this is, God hasn't changed, you guys. God's still the same. He still feels the same way about this dishonoring our parents. Like, he still views it the same. It's just that now we're in Christ, and Christ has taken our punishment for this. But I want to honor my parents. All right, second reason for passing on faith. For honoring your parents is this is God's plan for passing on faith. In fact, if you have duet there, it should be Deuteronomy 6:7. If you just go one chapter past Moses' sermon on the Ten Commandments, you get into what's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. This is a huge statement, maybe the most famous statement in the Old Testament. I mean, this is where it all comes down. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then right after that, it says, teach your children these things. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, them as in the commands of the Lord, to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And this is God's plan for the people to continue to flourish and to continue to love him was through the home. And it's interesting that Sabbath and home are together, because on the Sabbath the people gathered. And then the very next command was like, this is the springboard to this whole thing is from home. In fact, when you think about it, I mean, what does God desire? I mean, in Malachi 2:15, it says that he desires godly offspring. This is one of the things that God desires greatly, godly offspring. And so teaching our kids to honor you as father and mother is extremely important. And kids, honoring your father and mother, extremely important. This is where faith is passed on, because the home is the primary vehicle which God has chosen to pass faith on. This is secondary, you realize that. That discipleship has to begin at home. And for those who come to faith, and you know, we have lots of teenagers who don't come from Christian homes. Well, that changes for that for them. Now we become the primary vehicle for them, but it's still not this organization. It's people. This is why our youth leaders are their main job is to disciple teenagers. That's what we want them to do. They're not supervisors. We want them to get involved in the students' lives, to love them, and to bring them to the cross. to push them towards Jesus. So important. If there is no honor, respect for mother and father, there can be no passing on of faith. This is the hinge point. This is why it's so important. God desires every generation. Every generation. That's the whole Malachi thing, right? Godly offspring. Every generation, God wants them to flourish and to love him and him to love, pour out his love for them. So question number two, what does this command reveal? This is the tough question, especially for me. Rebellion is one of my, I guess you'd call it besetting sins. It has been in my heart for as long as I can remember. Rebellion is just something that festers in me. It's not the same anymore. It's still there. I can feel it. But God has done a work in me. Like, he has really done a work in my heart. I don't have time to tell my story, but rebellion is just part of my my history. Like, really rebelled against my parents, didn't honor them at all. In fact, hated my dad, especially for a while. Now I love my dad. He's awesome. So it's obviously me. And he hasn't changed that much. But this is what it reveals, that rebellion is our natural drift. God needed to command this, not just suggest it, hey, you guys should do this. He needed to command it because in our hearts, the MRI reveals something. There's rebellion in there. We do not like authority. We do not like, especially in our culture, right? We don't like people telling us what to do. We want to glean truth for ourselves. We want to do this, all this stuff for ourselves. In fact, that's a product of the Enlightenment, if you didn't know that. Not the Christian Reformation, but the Enlightenment made us individualistic. We can't trust organizations. We can't trust even like this. We can't trust someone from the front preaching the truth. We can't trust that. It's ourselves. It's our own trust that matters. Now, there's some good things that come from that, right? We just don't want to be just gulp everything down somebody says up here, for sure. And the Bible says to test everything, and I think we need to have that. And especially with all the false teaching out there, with all the crazies on the internet, and we got to be really careful about who you allow to disciple. That's not where my sermon's going, but you got to be careful about that. Obedience is difficult for us, but it's what got us into this mess in the first place, right? Disobedience, Adam and Eve. This is why all the problems exist in our world. This is why everything seems to be chaotic and crazy. Because chaos came into the world and into a very ordered and perfectly functioning world in the form of sin. And it just wreaked havoc on our world, and it still is today. And all you got to do is turn on the news to find that out. And obedience, it's difficult for all ages, right? How many of you guys work for someone else? How many of you go like, I can't get to work for that person to tell me what to do? Yeah, there we go. Now you guys have to agree with me. No, it's in us all, right? That rebellion, it's there. We just, something chafes against us. But it also comes to with God. We want to live our own lives. We don't want God to tell us what to do. In fact, this is how it all started. Because dishonoring your parents is ultimately a sin against God. It's a sin against him first, and then secondly against your parents. This is what he says in 1 Samuel. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, or in other translations, it says witchcraft. Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. So at the basis, at the core of rebellion is arrogance. Okay, we need to move on. So how do we apply this? How can we honor our parents today? Okay, so we've went through. There's lots of reasons why this is in the top, the Ten Commandments. But, I mean, these are the two that we kind of went with. Human flourishing, God's plan for passing on faith. And what does this command reveal? The MRI has revealed that there's rebellion and arrogance in our hearts. And so how do we apply this today? How do we apply this command today? I think it's just like all the other commands. In this genre of commands, I think we should obey them. I think we should do them. So let's, first of all, children living at home. So you guys who are living at home, who don't own their own place, or at least are under someone else's roof, that's paying for you. Okay, let's go with that. Here's what Ephesians 6, chapter 1 to 3 says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, and this was the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I think that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land is just, it's a statement that says God will be there and providing for you. He will be with you every step of the way. I think that's the promise attached to obeying, honoring your parents. So first of all, it comes in, for kids living at home, it comes in the form of obeying your parents. With one exception, if your parent is telling you to do something that's a sin, so he says, if your parent tells you to go and steal a flat screen TV for him so you can watch the football game, you probably should say no, okay? Not probably, you should say no. So we don't sin against God in order to obey our parents. That's the only, don't go crazy with that, but there is situations. Respect them even if they're wrong, right, teens? Because they're wrong a lot, right? Yes, there we go. Or you think they're wrong. You still need to honor them in your attitude, in your behavior, and your speech. I think these things are really important, and those are tough, right? You know. And I'm not just telling you, okay, I got to do this. What I'd like for you to do, for those you are living at home, is ask God to do these things in your heart. Ask Jesus to shape your heart this way, that you would have this attitude and a behavior and speech that would honor your parents. You need Jesus to help you. In fact, you need Jesus to do it through you. Don't try to do it on your own. It won't work. After all, you welcome their provision, a nice bed, a place to sleep, a nice meal that your mother's at least 4 out of 5 that you like. right? I don't like this. Anyway, you welcome their provision and their protection. And as long as you're living under their roof, honor them through obedience. And yeah, some of you guys are like, well, hey, I'm like 67. Okay, that's an extreme. Okay, I'm an adult. I'm like 18 or 19. Well, if you're living at home, you're still accepting your parents' provision and their protection. You need to honor them through obeying them. If you don't like it, then you can go get your own roof. Like that's, be an adult. Don't just say you're an adult, right? Sorry. There wasn't any, I didn't hear any like 18 to 22 year old laughing. I heard all older laughing. But that's right. That's, there's no fine print here, guys, unless they're honorable. This is another kind of thing we need to, because sometimes some of us have had horrible, horrible, terrible things done to us by our parents. And, it would be nice if this fine print was there, unless they're not honorable. It would be really nice. I don't have to honor them. They're not honorable. They don't deserve honor. That's not there. And so we have to learn to do that. Another way is to show grace to them, students and young kids. Show grace to your parents because they make mistakes. As a dad, my kids aren't here. I make lots of mistakes. They'd be like, yeah. I make lots of mistakes. I say things I shouldn't say. I do things I shouldn't do. I react ways I shouldn't react. I'm flawed too. So I desire grace. And so I love it when my kids give me grace. It's okay, Daddy. I love it. And here, parents, you can help by showing honor and respect to your kids, right? Treat them like they're made in the image of God. Like other Christians, sinners saved by grace. That's how we need to treat our kids and see them. They are. Christ died for their sins. We don't need to make them pay. We can't get into this. We need to discipline them and change their course. We got to keep going. Adult children with their own roof. Here's how I think that we can honor our parents. Respect their opinions and advice. I think that's important. So you got your own place. What's really cool, and I've done this a few times, to call my dad when I'm in a tough situation, and then to listen. Listen to what they have to say. You're not bound anymore to obey them, but honoring them means to actually listen with an open mind to what your parents have to say. I think that's really honorable. Parents with adult children, is that true?
because I don't have adult children. No? Yes. Okay, good. Like, what? Oh, no. Strike that. Yeah, we never stop being moms and dads, right? Once you have kids, you never stop. You're always giving advice. You're always praying for your kids. You're always wondering what's going on with them. What's next for them? Are they going to still love Jesus or have they gone off on their own? Like, we're always worried about things. We're all this constant. And so we're always praying about them. We continue to lift them towards to God and to ask for him to take care of our kids. And so, man, parents love it when you call and ask advice. My dad still loves it. He gets all giddy inside. He says the same thing every time to me, pretty much. Water off a duck's back, Chris. Water off a duck's back. He'll probably listen and go like, ah, I don't always say that. Or no, he probably be like, yep, glad you learned something. Yeah. You got to honor them with your attitude towards them and how you speak to them, right? Adult children, the way we speak to our parents, we need to honor them, show respect to them. It's really important. Visit them, especially if they're close to you. Visit them. Drop in. If your parents live around the area and you got your own place, drop in. They will be like, what? Awesome. And if you're like a single guy, you don't have to drop in at 5 or 5:30. You can, but you don't have to. You can just drop in and say, hi, I love you, mom, dad. What's for dinner? No. We can do that too. Because, you know, right? Moms, and if dad's the cook, you just, oh yeah, we'll just put more on. Awesome. Bless them by encouragement. This can be tough, you guys, because if your father, especially, was not an encourager to you, if he was like really harsh on you, never gave you encouragement, never said you were any good, maybe said you were no good, this can be really difficult for you. But by blessing them, it will release you from that. You bless them by encouraging them, thanking them. Say, you know what? It's tough raising kids. You know, thanks, dad. Thanks for providing for me. Thanks for what you did. And he might have been a really bad dad your mom might have been crazy. I don't know. But man, what does it do to your parents to kind of go like, wow, that's kind of cool. There's a whole bunch of Proverbs about that, but I got to finish the sermon, so I don't have time to go through that. And finally, adult children, take care of them when they can't care for themselves. Oh, so important. When your mom and dad come to that point where they can't take care of themselves, we need to step it up, right? I mean, this was just obvious in the older societies. They just did that. They lived with them, especially when they're old. They brought their parents into their home. They may never have left. I don't know. But if you want some, we don't have time to go through these verses, but 1 Timothy 5, great example of, it says basically paying back your parents. Going like, hey, you spent like, I mean, how much does it cost to raise a kid? A couple hundred grand that you've invested just money-wise in these kids, not to mention your life, sanity, hair, you know, that doesn't grow back. Okay, just you can check those verses. So here, the last way, for all children of all ages, this is what I think we need to do. We need to forgive our parents. Your parent was the first one to sin against you. You realize that? Was the first person on earth, more than likely, to sin against you was your parents. So isn't this interesting that God starts the love one another commandments with honor your parents? You need to get rid of these wounds. You can't hold on to to bitterness and unforgiveness. It will shape you. It will shape your entire adult life. Every relationship you have will be shaped by that unforgiveness and bitterness. With your spouse, kids, coworkers, bosses, friends, it's like a cancer. Unforgiveness and bitterness. You need to forgive your parents. And sometimes for some of us, that's difficult because our parents did some horrible things to us. But we need to walk that road. We need to start on the path of forgiveness. Because here's what I think. Forgiveness is the starting point for a life that is marked by God's provision and presence and power. And in the end, I think that's the promise. God's provision, presence, and power in our lives when we honor our parents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these commandments. Thank you, Lord, that you just cared so much about your people, that you knew how to structure it so they could flourish and so that they could pass on faith and so that the sin in our hearts would be revealed so that we might deal with it. We're just thankful for that. And Lord, if there's some of us here really struggling to honor our parents, I pray you give them courage to do what you're putting on their hearts to do, to start honoring them through whatever you put on their heart. Lord, I pray you'd help them to do that. And Lord, help us to be mindful of this. This is important. The home is super important. And so, Lord, for those of little kids, I pray that this would sink down deep. We need to teach our kids to respect and honor, and we need to instill those values in our kids. And so, Lord, I pray, give us the courage and the ability to do that. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have given us forgiveness. And Lord, now I just ask that you would put it in our hearts to forgive our parents, to forgive those who have sinned against us. So I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.